A TSA lockdown delays flights out of Salt Lake City. A King Air is down in California. And ICAST establishes a fund to help Kyle and Amanda. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 17, 2011. Passengers coming through Salt Lake City International Airport's Terminal 1 yesterday afternoon experienced long waits after a 45-minute lockdown. KSL News reports the Transportation Security Administration said the lockdown was initiated after a TSA worker thought he saw a passenger move through security checks with a prohibited item. No passengers were allowed in, and no passengers on planes parked at gates were allowed off. When airport security personnel located the passenger in question, they determined the item he had was not prohibited. The man was allowed to board his flight with the item, and the terminal was reopened to passengers shortly before 5 p.m. The Associated Press cites the FAA and local fire authorities in reporting a plane crash at Long Beach Airport in California has killed 5 people and injured a 6th. Long Beach Fire spokesman Steve Yamamoto says the twin-engine Beechcraft King Air crashed and burned during a takeoff at about 10:30 a.m. yesterday morning. Ian Greger of the Federal Aviation Administration says the plane was departing for Salt Lake when it went down. There were reports the aircraft was owned by a California developer. As of our deadline, there was no word on the condition or identity of either the 5 deceased or the sole survivor. Another benefit fund has been established for Kyle and Amanda Franklin, this one by the International Council of Air Shows. A letter to the community from the ICAST Foundation Board of Directors says in part, quote, "As you have likely heard by now, Kyle and Amanda Franklin were involved in an accident at the Air Fiesta 2011 in Brownsville, Texas on Saturday, March 12th. It now appears that Amanda's injuries will require a difficult and potentially expensive recovery and rehabilitation process. To help ensure that they are able to focus on the difficult challenges of healing rather than the financial challenges of that process, the ICAST Foundation has created a Kyle and Amanda Fund. It is our hope that members of the airshow community will contribute to this fund as generously as their circumstances allow." Unquote. There are multiple options for donation. You can find details featured prominently on the ICAST Foundation's website at www.icastfoundation.org. The NTSB is investigating three incidents involving Cessna Citation 560 XLs that experienced loss of rudder control after ice built up inside the tail cone. Preliminary findings indicate that water can collect inside the cone, then freeze around and restrict the movement of the rudder boost cables and pulleys. As long as the frozen ice impedes the cables and pulleys, the pilot may be unable to deflect the rudder, an obvious problem in a crosswind landing. Normally, a pilot would not use the rudder during cruise flight and therefore would not detect the problem until just before or after landing. Cessna has developed a mod it says allows water to drain away before it can cause the problem and has issued a service letter urging it be done within 90 days or 90 flight hours. The NTSB wants the FAA to elevate it to an airworthiness directive. Get details in the text version of this story, dated March 16th, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Pinnacle's CEO steps down. The 747-8 Intercontinental could fly this weekend. And NASA signs for more Soyuz rides. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 17th. I'm Paul Platt. Philip Trenary, President and CEO of Pinnacle Airlines Corp., has resigned his position effective March 24th to pursue other interests outside the company. Chairman Donald J. Breeding will assume the role of interim CEO until a permanent replacement is found. With the full support of the board, Trenary plans to stay on as a consultant for a year and assist in a seamless transition. Under his leadership, Pinnacle has grown from a $78 million turboprop-only airline with a fleet of 36 to a regional powerhouse with revenues of over $1 billion and a fleet of nearly 300 aircraft. Trenary oversaw the acquisition and integration of Colgan Air in 2007 and Masaba Airlines in 2010, helping to grow Pinnacle into one of the largest and most versatile regional airlines in the world. The company stresses no substantive changes are planned, and the company's planned headquarters relocation to downtown Memphis is proceeding on schedule. CNET reports Boeing has completed gauntlet testing on the first 747-8 Intercontinental and plans a first flight as soon as 10 a.m. Pacific this Sunday. Both taxi testing and first flight are subject to weather. If the aircraft does fly Sunday, it will have gone from unveiling to first flight in just over a month. The cargo version of the 747-8 first flew in February of last year. The first two Orbcomm next-generation OG-2 satellites will be carried to orbit on the next Falcon 9 launch this year. Orbcomm and Space Exploration Technologies, aka SpaceX, made the joint announcement on Monday. Falcon 9 was designed from the ground up by SpaceX for the reliable and cost-efficient transport of satellites to low Earth orbit, as well as sending SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft to orbiting destinations, including the International Space Station. The Orbcomm OG-2 satellites are being manufactured by an industry team led by Sierra Nevada Corporation and Boeing's Argon ST subsidiary. A total of 18 of the satellites are currently in production and will offer enhanced messaging capabilities, increased capacity, and automatic identification systems service. SpaceX's Falcon 9 launch site is located at Launch Complex 40 at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. Notwithstanding the advances made in U.S.-based launch vehicle options to service the International Space Station, NASA has signed a deal worth $753 million with the Russian Federal Space Agency for crew transportation, rescue, and related services from 2014 through June 2016. Reuters notes the price reflects a 20% increase for transportation to the station, or about $63 million per astronaut. Still ahead, a huge free air show has been canceled. NATA rallies members in Connecticut. And Chinese copies aren't always perfect. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved. At facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 17th. I'm Paul Platt. Officials at Hill Air Force Base in northern Utah announced with disappointment yesterday that the rumored cancellation of the base's biennial open house and air show is now official. The air show had been scheduled for Saturday and Sunday, September 24th and 25th, and among the acts scheduled to appear were the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds and the U.S. Army Golden Knights Parachute Team. Colonel Patrick Higby, 75th Air Base Wing and Installation Commander, explained, quote, "While these kinds of events are important for our service's recruiting efforts, showcasing our spectacular airmen, strengthening community relationships, and a potential boon for the local economy, we have too many other unfunded priorities," unquote. Admission for the shows at Hill has been free in the past, and the last show, held in June 2009, drew more than 200,000 people, including many from surrounding states. They'll reportedly try again next year. The National Air Transportation Association is urging its members who have an interest in the state of Connecticut to get involved in the battle against Governor Dan Malloy's proposal to remove tax exemptions on parts and maintenance for aircraft under 6,000 pounds and assess personal property tax on all aircraft. House Bill 6387, if it's passed, would tax aircraft at 70% of their value, factored by a millage rate of 20. A corporate jet valued at $20 million would be assessed an annual tax of $280,000. It appears there is no weight limit associated with the proposal, meaning all aircraft in the state would be included. NATA says when talking to legislators, you should emphasize that surrounding states, Maine, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and New York, do not impose personal property taxes on aircraft. Because aircraft are mobile assets, owners, especially corporate owners, are likely to reestablish their aircraft in one of those states. NATA also predicts airports and airport-based businesses will lose revenue from loss of fuel, hangar, and maintenance purchases. Aerospace and aviation provide 45,800 jobs in Connecticut, with a total payroll of $2.77 billion. The Connecticut House of Representatives Committee on Finance is expected to convene within the next few days to begin work on the bill. And finally today, England's Prince Harry has been picked for training in advanced tactics and weapons in the Apache gunship helicopter to take place at the U.S. Army's Yuma Proving Ground in Arizona. British media reports Harry spent 10 months learning to fly the helicopters and will now learn to use such advanced weapons as Hellfire missiles and a laser-guided 30-millimeter cannon that fires 625 rounds per second. The training also includes the use of an automatic targeting system called Death Stare, which is a helmet-based sight allowing the pilot to select a target simply by looking at it. Harry is following, of course, in the footsteps of his older brother, Prince William. Maybe following a little too closely. An unauthorized set of commemorative mugs made in China to exploit William's marriage to Kate Middleton was manufactured with Harry's likeness in place of his brother's. I wonder if this ups the odds of Harry actually getting deployed. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Darwin Conrad of Rocket Engineering about his turboprop conversions of legacy Beechcraft piston models. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.